history is repeating itself with conference expansion, realignment, whatever you want to call it. And history seems like it just might repeat itself in the NBA as well. The Brooklyn Nets never really amounted to anything in the KD and Kyrie era. Both players have now indicated to the Nets they no longer want to be there. Durant is an interesting case. The Nets paid him 1 year when they knew he was injured, and then they knew he wasn't going to play. If, again, let's go back to the Garner Laureate music program. If they had paid you 1 year salary without you doing anything, Jonathan Rand, would you feel like you had owed it to him?
Absolutely.
Owed something to them?
Yeah. Yeah.
When they knowingly signed you knowing you couldn't work for a year?
Absolutely.
I know I'm asking like these generalized, do you have a principle or moral questions that we already know the answer to when it comes to money. But yeah, KD has asked to be traded by the Nets after winning, I think it's two playoff series or one playoff series in 3 years. And do you know the landing spot that makes the most sense, technically, if you're the Nets anyway? Because the one thing KD did which helped the Nets out was sign a four-year extension. So he's under contract for 4 years. So if you go and trade for KD, unless he pulls one of these, I don't want to play for you, which, getting a little bit tired of those, if you make a commitment somewhere, maybe. I don't know. Honor it, take it, at least attempt to play.
Yeah.
The whole Simmons and Harden and whoever else is out there pulling these power plays. I kind of just want to see you play basketball. I don't know. Maybe I'm being greedy. Maybe I'm the jerk in this situation. The good news for the Nets, Kevin Durant has 4 years left on his deal. And given he's the best scorer in the NBA, at this point his physical tools have broken down to a point where he can still score 3 out of 4 games at the highest level of anyone. He can't do it consistently like he did when, 5 years ago, let's say, at his full Oklahoma City powers, or when he was with the Warriors. Even though with the Warriors, it wasn't necessary for him to be the best player in the NBA every night. It was just kind of a bonus when he was. Oh, I just gave it away. Again, I have so many spoilers today.
It's a really good thing you haven't seen Stranger Things.
Damn it! Yeah, the Golden State Warriors, the team that Kevin Durant helped win 2 NBA titles after, of course, the Warriors had eliminated Oklahoma City, an Oklahoma City team led by Kevin Durant in 2016. After that team was eliminated from the playoffs, after holding a 3-1 series lead. Yeah, Kevin Durant left Oklahoma City, went to Golden State, helped the Warriors win 2 NBA titles in his time there. The last year he was there in 19, suffers leg injury, heel injury, Achilles, whatever you want to call it. Ends up missing not only 19, but then 20. 20 being the first year with the Nets. Yeah, the deal that actually makes the most sense for the Nets is to trade Kevin Durant to the Golden State Warriors. Because of the NBA salary cap rules, they are not allowed to trade. The Warriors are not allowed to trade Andrew Wiggins. He's on a max rookie extension, and he's still on that deal, which means he's not. The same with Miami Heat with Bam Adebayo. They're not allowed to trade him. So, if you can't get Wiggins, and you're the Nets, who by the way, today, signed Pac Pro TJ Warren, legitimate Pac Pro.
Yeah.
We'll get to another Pac Pro in a second. If you're the Nets, and you can get a deal with Jordan Poole, James Wiseman, and then I would take 4 ones, 3 ones in the swap. I would do it. Wiseman is a lottery ticket scratch-off. We've seen him for a portion of his rookie year. He didn't play at all last year, recovering from injury. I think Poole is a guy on that Nets roster. Poole is a guy who can shoot. Poole is a guy who could score 20 points a game with TJ Warren. And I don't know what it becomes of Ben Simmons, but Ben Simmons doesn't want to score. So I actually don't hate Poole. I don't hate a combo of Poole, Warren, Simmons, and Wiseman. Are they going to win the NBA title? No. Did they win the NBA title with 2 sure things in KD and Kyrie? Answer is also no. Just in case everyone's confused out there by this, it's really hard to win the title. There's only one per year. And there are a lot more better players than that. I don't want to overreact to the last thing we saw out of Kevin Durant, or for that matter, Kyrie Irving. But they weren't good enough in the playoffs. They weren't. The Celtics were better. Jason Tatum was better. Jaylen Brown was better. And that's the mistake we make. We think, watching tennis today, wow, Djokovic, he's going to be good forever. Nadal, he's going to be good forever. Because we've been brainwashed by LeBron, who is good forever. We've been brainwashed by Tom Brady. My goodness gracious. Fall off the cliff already, as our friend Max Kellerman once predicted. But we think just because Brady's done it, we think just because LeBron's done it, anyone in baseball superhuman at this point? Or they've all really...
They've fallen off, but I mean, Albert Pujols is still playing at 40.
No.
They're
not
all falling
the example
off.
You
maybe,
wanted.
Maybe Joey Votto, but no.
Joey Votto, you got to say it like
of the
Snoop.
23-win Cincinnati Reds, so yes.
So no.
No.
Nobody in baseball's doing it either.
No.
And don't spoil Rand Talks baseball segment, okay?
Oh, I'm sorry, I forgot. My bad. My bad. That's late. That's a tease.
So the other part of history repeating itself here is I think the Nets absolutely should trade Kevin Durant to the Warriors. Are the Warriors going to welcome Durant back with welcome arms? I think they should. You know why? The Warriors were lucky to win this year. They were. Don't get me wrong. They did what they had to do in that final series. Absolutely. They didn't have to beat the Suns. And then they beat a Celtics team, in my opinion, who wasn't the best team in the East. But that's not their fault. They can't control that. Warriors can't control that. I think the Warriors this year karmically got their title back from 16. That's what I think happened with the universe. Now going forward, would I trade for Kevin Durant if I was Golden State? In a second. In a second.
Do you think Durant cares at all about his quote-unquote legacy anymore if he goes back to Golden State?
Nope, because the mistake Kevin Durant made wasn't joining the Warriors to begin with, rather leaving the Warriors when he did. That was the mistake that he made. The other part of this is now Kyrie and LeBron James being reunited. And this is not a novel idea, but it would be funny if both things ended up working. Here's Andre Snellings from ESPN talking about the potential of those two reunions.
I personally have trouble imagining Durant back on the Warriors. It just feels like for both Durant to the Warriors and all of the rumors of Kyrie going to the Lakers to join LeBron, it feels like it would just be a rewind, you know, right? Like 4 years ago or so, both of those players were in that situation, and it really felt like both players wanted to break out from that situation. That Kyrie wanted to get out from underneath LeBron's shadow, and that KD wanted to go to his own team and win a championship separate from Steph and Dre and Clay. And so if 4 years later, after not having done it on their own, both of them were to go back to their original situations, like my brain can't accept that.
Yeah, it would be wild if Kyrie ended up back with LeBron, and it would be wild if KD went back to Golden State. To be perfectly blunt, though, the Lakers' best chance of winning would be with Kyrie Irving. Of course, it's going to require a healthy Anthony Davis. That goes without saying. And then the Warriors, they just won. They've proven they can win without KD. They got two titles now without KD, two with. Everything we know about Steph Curry is he's the most selfless superstar there is. The only thing you should care about is winning. That's what you should care about. That's how your legacy gets taken care of. You hold up all the rings, you and Robert Horry. That's the way to do it. It's the OG. I'm Joe Giglio. Jovis is out today. I'll be back tomorrow. Jonathan Rand is the producer of this program. And it's time to catch you up on the stories of the day. A little segment we like to call What's Trending. At Geico, you have a choice of ways you can save on car insurance. Call 1-800. Need my glasses. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. That's 1-800-947-AUTO. Go online at geico.com or stop by the Geico office nearest you.
Number 5.
Is there a greater athlete today in American sports than Joey Chestnut, Jonathan Rand?
I'm not sure.
So not only did Joey Jaws end up winning the Nathan's hot dog eating contest on the 4th of July, aptly enough. 63 hot dogs? Was that what it was?
Yeah.
So he showed up. He had a foot injury. His foot was in the cast. He was on crutches. So his number is down like by 30 hot dogs, if I'm not mistaken. His production was off. But he was injured. So that's fine. And he won for the 15th time. And it's not like he needs to eat 90 or whatever the total is that that he normally gets to. However, this hot dog eating contest and this mustard belt was actually earned by Joey Chestnut when someone tried to protest in the middle of the event while he was devouring one of his 63 hot dogs. And, well, this someone protester ended up in a chokehold from one Joey Chestnut, giving new meaning to Joey Jaws.
Yep.
It hurts when I walk, but I can stand and I can eat, and I'm going to push it to the limit.
The 15-time champion of the world with 63 Nathan's Famous hot dogs and buns. Look on his works, ye mighty and despair, for he has surpassed the kings of Egypt, and the rock on which he stands is not a rock. It is the United States of America.
Title number 15 for the greatest eater of all time.
Joey Chestnut!
I'm not going to lie to you, I might need that sounder for one of these Bojangle trips or maybe one of those Jersey Mike trips where I eat the whole giant. And I want that, the greatest eater of all time.
While you have, like, hot sauce stains on your hoodie.
Okay, listen. That was slightly offsides.
That's fair. I apologize. But, I mean, like, come on. If you're going to be eating competitively, you can't worry about what you look like.
You're going to be a little bit sloppy.
Yeah.
I definitely would get a Matt Rhule smock. Maybe that's what Matt Rhule could do in his next lifetime.
Oh, professional eating?
Yeah. Hmm. He's got the smock for it. He's got a sponsorship built in.
He talked his way into getting this job, so he could probably talk his way into getting into the competition.
You know how Joey Chestnut eats all those hot dogs? I'm going to do that.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh. David Tepper. Oh, okay. Let me give you $63 million.
Sure.
No problem. No problem at all. All right, Rand, next one.
Number four.
Oh, this is Rand Talks Baseball. Because it is.
Because
4th of July, we're halfway through the year, and we're approaching the MLB trade deadline, which means kind of time to focus on baseball, kind of like Christmas is for NBA fans. Oh, well, let's see what's happening on the diamond. If you're an American League fan, there's really only the Central Division, the only division that's competitive. In the East, the Yankees are up 13 games on Boston. Boston and Toronto and Tampa are three great teams, but the New York Yankees are 58-22. They might be good.
You know there's a stat that I put emphasis on, whether it's the NHL, whether it's the NFL. I really do believe goal differential, run differential, point differential is indicative of how dominant you are.
Yes.
In the American League, the Yankees have the highest total, but the second highest total is 91 run, plus 91 by the Astros. The Yankees, so far this season, are plus 162. That's fairly amazing.
Yeah.
It is impressive that the Dodgers are at plus 140, but, well, the Dodgers, I mean, I get it. I'm a Yankee fan, and I'm about to say another team bought their team, but the Dodgers, I mean, they use the Nationals as a farm system, for goodness sake. My man Rob Manfred just let them rob and pillage the Nationals franchise last year. So that they don't count.
They've got a mole, though. The Dodgers do. Freddie Freeman doesn't want to be there, so he's going to tank for the Braves
for
in
the
playoffs.
Braves.
Absolutely. Meanwhile, speaking of the Braves, and you said the Houston Astros dominating.
I'm going to be perfectly honest with you, Rand. Yeah. I set this up as a Rand Talks Baseball. I just assumed it was going to be Rand Talks Braves.
No, I had to give all the fan bases love. The Braves, only 3.5 out of first place in the NL East. They were 10.5 out on June 2nd. So they had a 14-game winning streak earlier in June.
Those help.
Only thing with the Braves, though, the New York Mets get former Dodger Max Scherzer back tonight. He had an oblique injury. He was out for about a month and a half. So he's back, so we'll see how that race goes. The Brewers, they're up in the Central, and like you said, the Dodgers just cruising along. So, yeah, time to start watching baseball, casual baseball fans.
So I didn't realize that the Nationals had agreed to pay so much of Max Scherzer's contract that they're actually paying him. They have balloon payments, kind of like Bobby Bonilla, that they owe $14 million, I believe, maybe even over the next 10 years.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that. And then I was thinking, oh, you know what? Max Scherzer, he's got a lot of money. And I'm thinking to myself, what's he going to do with all of it? Well, you mentioned that he had the oblique injury. He was actually had to make a minor league start with the Mets down in their minor league franchise, right?
Mm-hmm.
So he goes down. It was Wednesday night this past week. And here's what he did for the minor league team. He had a this is the tweet from Fox Sports. When Max Scherzer went above and beyond shelling out big cash for a locker room feast that included bone-in ribeye, filet mignon, lobster. The approximate dollar figure for the meal was upwards of $7,000. Scherzer also bought everyone on the team AirPods. We walk in and there's a clubby just handing out AirPods, saying they're from Max, one of the players said. Though, and here's the commentary from Fox Sports in the tweet, though ruthless and intense on the mound, Scherzer has a reputation as a phenomenal teammate and an outstanding clubhouse guy. Now, at my initial thought after seeing the previous tweet of he just got $14 million from the Nationals not to play for them, and of course he's being paid by the Mets to pitch for them, I'm thinking, no big deal. But it wasn't the meal that got me. It was the AirPods. And if you're watching this on WRAL Sports Plus on 34 Over the Air, or if you're on Spectrum, you can see us, or just WRALSportsFan.com. You can watch us, stream us. You'll see these stringy air headphones.
Mm-hmm.
I always lose my AirPods. I washed one of my AirPods.
That'll do it.
Yes. Yeah. It doesn't work anymore.
Mm-mm. Yeah. It's clean, though.
I had to lecture my 14-year-old about AirPods because he's always leaving them around the house. And I'll find, like, the left ear, you know, down in the family room, right ear up in his bedroom. I'm like, come on, man. These things aren't free. I'm driving to work the other day. And I finally got the case for it. I got it, like, latched to my book bag. I've been diligent in charging. You know me, I don't charge anything.
Same.
I'm charging, and I get in the car, and I'm ready to make some phone calls. And I was like, oh, that's right. I found the right ear on the bottom of the washing machine last week. And guess what? No longer functional.
No.
Left ear works, though.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's okay.
But if I played for the Mets minor league affiliate, well, I could just hang out with Max Scherzer and get a new pair.
Right.
Until that time, well, I'm stuck.
The cords it is.
Or I could write a letter to Bobby Bonilla.
True.
We had Bobby Bonilla Day last week over the weekend. The Mets paid him his $1 million plus for still not playing. That division, yeah, maybe the Braves are the real winner in that division because they're not paying anyone not to play for them?
Not over the next 12 years, which is the Bobby Bonilla contract. They still are probably playing a few other people, but not like Mark Teixeira. He's not getting any more checks from us, so we're okay. We're okay.
Perfect. Next up, Rand.
Number three.
Oh, that's me.
Is it the NFL offseason?
It is definitely the NFL offseason, and the offseason has always is going to rotate around quarterbacks, right, in the NFL. And there was some movement. Obviously, Russell Wilson ends up being traded from the Seahawks to the Broncos. Did you know the Seahawks and Broncos actually opened the season together on Monday
night?
They
did not do that.
They did do that.
What?
I actually, over the weekend, I was able to win a golf bet or two, maybe even an MLS soccer bet or two. I mean, sure. Just hypothetically, of course.
Hypothetically.
And you know, they've already offered all of the NFL lines for week one. And the Broncos are a 3.5-point favorite or 4-point favorite against Seattle. I think Seattle's going to be, like, bad, like, out loud bad next year.
Don't they still have Drew Lock as their current starting quarterback?
Actually, I think it's the other guy from West Virginia.
Is Geno?
I think it is.
Oh, gosh.
Because they haven't really had camp yet or a chance to let Lock get in there and learn what he's doing. Geno Smith, right?
And Geno does?
Buddy, I think they're going to be terrible. Yeah. I would take their under all day, every day.
Poor DK.
And it's probably only 4.5, but I would still probably take an under.
How long does DK Metcalf last this year before he's traded?
Before he sits out?
Or sits out.
Yeah, I don't think that's being offered, but I would definitely take that as well. Anyway, the offseason is about quarterbacks. And the two moves that haven't happened yet are, let's start with Jimmy Garoppolo in San Francisco. Jimmy G leads the 49ers to the NFC Championship game. Actually, if one of their safeties holds on to an interception, Jimmy G and the 49ers would have been in the Super Bowl, maybe even won the Super Bowl. But, of course, that's not how the world works. You have to hang on to the interceptions. You have to come to the ground and catch them. That didn't happen. Jimmy G ends up getting hurt in that game. His shoulder's hurt. He's been out since then and hasn't been able to pass a physical. So the Niners have, you know, basically said, look, we made a lot of moves last year to get Trey Lance in the draft. They took Trey Lance in the top five, and they want Trey Lance to be their starter, not Jimmy Garoppolo, because Lance has a higher upside. I believe in Garoppolo's baseline, though, and I actually think the Panthers would be better off with Garoppolo. Here's a clip, ESPN, talking about, look, the Niners this year, both... They've said they want to trade They said they want to trade Jimmy Garoppolo. You know what's just easier to say? Handsome Jimmy G. They said they want to trade handsome Jimmy G, but he needs to pass a physical first. They're also trying to figure out what to do with Deebo Samuel, because he was not only their top receiver last year, but their top running back. So the Niners have two major issues, but here's what they could do with those two players.
Status of Jimmy Garoppolo and Deebo Samuel. Can you peel that curtain back a little bit?
Yeah, so let's start with Jimmy G. This is a quarterback who is close to throwing a football, which is good news for any team that might need a quarterback is looking in the trade market. I'm told that everything is on schedule coming off that shoulder surgery and that the timeline is still the same. Early July is roughly when he'll probably start throwing, and it will be a ramp-up process. It'll take a few weeks, but the thing is, the trade market hasn't been hot because he just simply needs to pass a physical. He hasn't been able to do that. Once he does, you have teams like Carolina, Seattle that have at least been monitoring the quarterback market, Baker Mayfield, Garoppolo, all those names you've heard. So that could heat up before training camp. Now, Deebo Samuel, I'm told status quo is really when he reported to minicamp. That's the last piece of news that we have here, that nothing else significant has happened behind the scenes between Samuel and the 49ers. In fact, he hasn't officially rescinded his trade request as far as I've heard, but the 49ers are still hopeful that they can mend this relationship, come to a long-term agreement at some point. Could be closer to training camp or around then, but they'll chip away at this. And really, the trade market has sizzled. Around draft time was the best time to do that. Now there really hasn't been a lot of buzz or traction.
So, in my opinion, the Panthers would be wise to make a deal for Jimmy G, because I believe they could have Jimmy G and Sam Darnold on the roster. Those two players could coexist. I don't think they can make a deal for I don't think they can make a deal for Baker Mayfield and keep Sam Darnold. I don't think that makes any sense. And in this case, I don't think that'll happen. Every week we come out with a new story of the Browns really don't want Baker Mayfield, and Baker Mayfield really doesn't want to play for the Browns. He needs somewhere to play. That is understood at this point. It's the last year, but he has a guaranteed contract for more than $18 million, and that's the holdup right now. The Browns don't want to pay for a portion of that or enough of a portion of that for the Panthers to take him off their hands. And again, if you're the Panthers, it doesn't make any sense to have Sam Darnold and Baker Mayfield. I'm hoping I'm making my point clear enough on that. Jimmy Garoppolo is the kind of player who you could put on the roster if he outplays Darnold, which he probably is going to. He's going to play. He's also going to make fewer mistakes. And I think your team is going to be more consistent with Jimmy G. But he is also injury prone, so you would need a better insurance policy than the XFL Mahomes and PJ Walker. With Mayfield, who can be a disruptive force, and we don't talk enough about Mayfield's personality flaws. That's why he doesn't have a team right now. It's not because of an $18 million contract. $18 million is nothing to the NFL. Nothing. But nobody wants him, because your personality flaws. So, one sad note from the NFL, and I hate, remember when Antonio Brown basically lost his mind at the Jets game this past season. He's playing with the Buccaneers. He's on the sideline. He starts just taking off his clothes and wandering around. He's in Manhattan getting on Ubers and everything else. And immediately people were like, man, he's got CTE. And you're going, it's almost become like, it shouldn't be, but it's almost become like this joke. Like, oh, he's got CTE. Well, Demaryius Thomas, who had passed away in December, who was only 34 years old, his family donated his body to Boston University, and they have determined that Thomas did have the degenerative brain disease known as chronic traumatic encephalopathy, or CTE, which is linked to repeated blows to the head, according to the announcement Tuesday by doctors from Boston University, who have been studying the former NFL star's brain. Thomas was found dead in Georgia, his Georgia home, this past December, just 15 days before his 34th birthday. At the time, his family believed that his seizures, which Thomas had battled since a 2019 car crash, might have led to his death. The coroner's office in Georgia has not yet ruled on the cause of death. Of course, it's important to note that CTE itself does not cause the death. CTE, it does change your behavior and your personality. So, again, more and more we're learning about these players. For me, naively, I have believed that these repeat, and we've seen this, Aaron Hernandez, right? A younger player. Naively, I'm 47 years old. And when I was growing up, my dad was a high school football coach, and I played high school football myself. You got to think about college, high school football, college football in those days. You legitimately had two-a-day practices where after like a two-day prep, maybe even one day, if I'm remembering correctly growing up, you would come out in shorts and you'd basically learn, you know, this is how you tackle with your head up. And there was like a 2-minute tutorial on that. Not to say that it was downplayed. Rather, it was okay. The next day you're out there hitting. And naively, I've always believed that the CTE and the brain injuries and what we've seen like in a Jim McMahon or some of the older NFL players, I've always thought, well, that's because they went through all of these two-a-day practices for their whole lives. They went through all of these drills where they were banging heads with everybody, Oklahoma drills, your whole life. I'm somebody who I only played 5 years of football, but I'm telling you, every practice, we hit in every practice. If we had pads on, we hit. Nowadays, you don't hit at all in practice. And that's not a bad thing. I'm not saying that in a bad way, but you hit very rarely in full pads. Okay, so I've always believed that it was an accumulation. You know, and now you add in how terrible the equipment was, particularly the helmets. Awful, right? I mean, you're talking about football coaches who didn't believe in water breaks. Never mind anything else. I remember one of the practices I had in high school. I literally made a kid throw up. I hit him, and I made him throw up, and everyone thought, oh, he just had lunch. It was the second practice of the day. No, he had a concussion. So, like, we didn't know any of this stuff. This is the 90s, right? In a decent helmet, and we had water breaks. We had a lunch break. So what I'm getting at is I always thought it was, oh, these guys have all been through repeated drills. That was their big problem. Oh, the equipment was terrible. Oh, they played on AstroTurf. Think about how awful that surface was, not only for their knees, but for the head every time they knocked to the ground. But the truth of the matter is, CTE, your brain, is just like any other bigger disease or injury, right? I always like to say, you don't know how your body's going to react to cancer. We all react differently to cancer. You don't know how your body's going to react to concussions. I react differently to concussions. And this just shows, 34 years old. I mean, Demaryius Thomas played at Georgia Tech. He played college football, played pro football. But he wasn't a product of AstroTurf. He wasn't a product of two-a-days. He wasn't a product of overexposure in practice. He probably wasn't running kickoff drills, you know, twice a day in August. Probably not, would be my guess. And yet, here he is, 34 years old. So, it's a sad day in the NFL, it is. Because we don't want to talk about this story. This is not the story we want to talk about. Let's talk about Jimmy G. Let's talk about Baker Mayfield. Let's talk about Sam Darnold. Let's talk about what an idiot Matt Rhule is. Let's not talk about the reality of what these guys are doing and how they're sacrificing their body for our entertainment. It's a willing choice. I know that most of them make, and I get that. It's a trade they make for the money that they make and the talent that they have. Demaryius Thomas was supremely gifted. It would almost be criminal if he didn't play football. Almost. But that also shortchanges the other things he probably could have done with his life. And now we're in a situation in the NFL where we've changed so many of the rules that, again, naively, I think, well, they don't practice that much anymore. They don't hit that much anymore. They should be out of the game and CTE shouldn't exist. It's not the case. It's not the case. It's sad. Next, Ryan.
Number two.
You know, I don't really like it when I have to bring us down on this program, Jonathan Rand, but sometimes, you know, you have to do it.
Yeah, sometimes you got to, but then we can bring it back up.
We can bring it back up. We've talked a lot about the NBA today. There's two NBA stories, though, that I would like to talk about right now. Number one, I would like for you to play this clip for me, and I want you to listen to the name of the player and then we were going to need to determine if we count him as something or not. So give me that clip, please, Rand.
Did you see it right?
Yeah. Who are you to?
Just kidding, not that one. Different one.
That is a good one. That's a pick-me-up.
Apologies.
We need the pick-me-up.
I was giving the pick-me-up.
This is a certain player from Chapel Hill. While you get this ready, I'll set it up. There's two different players in the news today from the Triangle area. Number one would be T.J. Warren from Durham. NC State, T.J. Warren, injury-plagued last year, didn't really get a chance to get on the floor. But this year, he'll be on the Nets. Signed a one-year deal with the Nets today. Yes, the Nets are losing Kevin Durant. I get it. He's not Kevin Durant, but you know what? T.J. Warren can fill it up. They don't call him T.J. Buckets for nothing. Now, there is a player from Chapel Hill who was briefly enrolled at NC State. And, well, lo and behold, look at the Los Angeles Lakers Summer League roster. I see Jay Huff, also from Durham. And, well, I hear this name in a blast from the past.
Rough sequence.
Yeah. Here comes Jessup. Sent away by Kalea Jones.
Back with your left, you're exposing the ball. Yeah. And they just ate that one up.
I'm sorry, did he say Kalea Jones?
What?
Did he say Sasha Kalea Jones? That Kalea Jones?
Pac-Pro?
Pac-Pro? Kalea Jones, you remember, from Chapel Hill. His mom works at the University of North Carolina. He ends up going to Kentucky out of high school. Basically toils out of Kentucky for 2 years, transfers to NC State, where he never plays. Ugh. And was never really academically eligible, if we're being completely fair here and honest here. Ends up leaving in the middle of the year he was supposed to be sitting out to go pro, gets lost into the wild blue yonder, and now resurfaces on the Lakers Summer League roster. Kalea Jones, does he count as a Pac-Pro, Rand?
Yes, absolutely he does.
I'm guessing Kentucky's not going to be claiming him, so...
If they don't claim him, we can take him.
The Wolves might as well. Now, the other pick-me-up story that you had for us.
Yes.
Ja Morant, huge star with the Memphis Grizzlies, was just outstanding this year in his second year in the NBA. I mean, third year now in the NBA. Just a real breakout. Goes, it looks like it's at a diner, mm-hmm. has a meal, and leaves a $500 tip.
Yep.
And here's the clip.
Right. Yeah, who are you though?
It's Black Jesus.
You who?
Black Jesus.
Now, you some kind of professional. You play football, basketball, or something?
Basketball.
What school you went to?
I'm not from here.
You're not? Where you from?
South Carolina.
Okay. Where you going? So you play basketball?
Yeah.
You can go to the NBA?
I'm already in there.
Who are you playing for?
The Grizzlies. Your new favorite team. Your new favorite team, the Grizzlies.
That's the team that ball player, Jari.
That's him.
You that boy? That?
You that boy? What? Yeah.
What's your name?
Ja Morant.
Oh!
And then she runs away.
Andrew, you forget the tip. I was
talking to. She's so excited.
Good for Ja Morant.
Yeah.
Good for Ja Morant.